Take your Bible this morning, if you would, and open it up to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Now, those of you watching the live stream, I think they put the scripture up, and Luke 8 is not the scripture I gave them, all right? But the scripture I gave them, we're going to get to, all right? We're really just going to kind of wander along through the New Testament a little bit, looking for the text, all right? And we'll find it after we get there, all right? So if you'll just bear with me a little bit, take your Bible. And Luke chapter 8, verse 1, the Bible said, "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him." Now notice, the Bible said this, Jesus Christ went out through every city and village and had one thing to do. He was preaching. He was preaching. Go to Luke chapter 9, all right? Luke chapter 9, verse 6 here, if you will. The Bible says, "And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere." Now here's the disciples were with Jesus in Luke chapter 8. In chapter 9, he sends them out. And they're doing the same thing he was doing. They went preaching. So let's go, if you will, to the book of Acts, all right? Acts chapter 8. So it was the Lord Jesus, he was preaching. His disciples were preaching. And we get to chapter 8, verse 4, all right? Luke chapter 8 and verse 4, if you will. The Bible says, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." That's, hey, you know who that was? That's believers. As believers, it wasn't fellows that were ordained, if you will, to the ministry. It was just the believers there, and they were scattered because of persecution. You said, why'd they scatter? They wanted to live. And so they ran for their life, but everywhere they went, they were preaching the word of God. Drop down to verse 12. Verse 12, Acts chapter 8, verse 12. "And when they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." All right? That's Philip. It says, when they believed, Philip preaching. All right? Preaching. All right? So here we are. All right? Look at verse 35, same chapter. Verse 35. "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." Now, some of you folks are not going to believe this, but that's a deacon. A deacon was preaching, all right? He was preaching. That's what he was doing, all right? Look at Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. If you would, here two verses, verse 19. Acts chapter 11, verse 19. "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus." All right? Here's scattered believers again, preaching the word of God. Now, Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Now, here's the scripture that he probably posted. All right? I told you we'd get there if you'd just be patient. Acts chapter 15, verse 35. The Bible says, "Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also." So the Bible said Paul and Barnabas preached, okay? Last verse, all right, until the next one. Titus, if you will, chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. I think you got the text, maybe, if you've been paying attention, all right? But Titus chapter 1, if you will, look at verse 3. The Bible says, "But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior." Notice the Bible says he has in due times manifested his word through preaching. Well, would you just say it this way? Preaching is big stuff. Preaching is big stuff. At least, it used to be. It used to be. Hey, in the New Testament times, the preaching of the Word of God was done often. As a matter of fact, you could say it was done at every opportunity. And they looked for an opportunity. They went somewhere looking for the opportunity. It was daily in the temple and in every house. So what was going on? They were preaching the word of God. In our day, it seems that maybe things have changed a little bit. In many places, the preaching of the word of God has kind of taken a back seat. It's been replaced by teaching. Now, wait a minute. Teaching's good. It's important. It has its place. But it was never intended to replace preaching the word of God. In other places, oh, it seems like preaching has become outdated. It's gotten watered down, in some instances even cast aside, turned into a rap session, if you will, or even interspersed with drama. You know, it's not enough. The preaching can't keep you awake, so we'll have a little drama every now and then to wake you up, and then we'll come back. Hey, I want to tell you this. When Paul was instructing young Timothy, he was told, and Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. I'll remind you, when God sent Jonah to Nineveh, it was to preach to the people there. Folks, there's no replacement. There's no substitution. There's nothing better than preaching. And we need to keep on preaching. And that's what I'm going to preach on until the trumpet sounds. Keep on preaching. You say, well, you're buttering your own bread. No, because I very plainly showed you through the scriptures where the Bible said every believer was preaching the word of God, all right? And if there's one thing we need to do, we need to keep on preaching. You say, why is that so important? Keep on preaching, first of all, because it's popular. You say, wait a minute, preacher. You just said a lot of places have been replaced by other things. Oh, well, it's not popular with men, okay? No, it's not popular with them. People today avoid preaching. They'll avoid it. They belittle it oftentimes. They despise it. They'll depart from it if they can. I remember when I was a kid, and I don't think it's as bad now as it used to be, but I remember as a kid how people would come to Sunday school and they'd leave between Sunday school and church and go home. They'd skip the preaching of the Word of God. You say, why? Well, because it wasn't popular. Just wasn't popular. There's never really been a time when preaching was popular with men, but that's okay. That's okay. Because look, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You say, well, I thought you said it was popular. It is. It is popular. Now, not with men. Not with men. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, excuse me, verse 21, not verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Hey, it doesn't matter if it's not popular with men. It's popular with God. It's popular with God. It's the God-ordained method for getting the gospel out, all right? Now, I'm not against having a scripture sign in your yard. I think it's a good thing. I'm not against putting scripture on your bumper sticker. I'm not against you getting a magnetic sign and hooking it to the sides of your vehicle if you want to with scripture. Not a thing in the world wrong with that. Renting a billboard, that's a good thing. But I want to tell you something, God ordained preaching. God ordained preaching, and it pleased him. And by the way, I want to say, pleasing God's a whole lot more important than pleasing men. And we ought to be sure we're pleasing God by what we do. You say, why do you think preaching is so pleasing to God? Well, I think there's reasons for it. Number one is, I think it's popular because when his word is expounded, it pleases God. It pleases God. You remember that verse we read there in Titus chapter 1? Where the Bible says it was preaching was the manifestation of the Word of God. The manifestation of the Word of God. It's opening up the Word of God, all right? It's taking this book. We don't get up here and say, now, I've read a good book this week and want to talk to you about what it said. No, it's opening up the Bible. Open up the Bible. It's expounding the Word of God. And I'll say this, there is no preaching if it's not God's word that's lifted up. Now, you can have wonderful talk, and you can make a great speech, but bless your heart, it's not preaching if it's not the word of God. We're to take the Word of God and open it up. Hey, it pleases God when His book is expounded. I believe this. I believe it pleases God and popular with Him when sin is exposed. When sin is exposed. Now, I'll tell you, I don't know how you feel, but I've never been happy when my sin was exposed. Never been happy. It makes you squirm in the seat. I'll never forget, we had a fellow, actually, Brother Bobby Buchanan was preaching one time for us, and there was a fellow sitting out in the crowd about two rows behind where my brother's sitting right now. And as Brother Buchanan preached, he began to turn red. And the longer Brother Buchanan preached, the redder he got. And Brother Buchanan was the kind of preacher that he said, well, while it's working, let's keep it going, all right? And I mean, he preached. But it's preaching the Word of God, that's what makes us squirm, all right? It's when our sin is exposed. If I got up here and preached nothing but against bootlegging, most of you would be all right, okay? Most of you'd be okay. If that was the only subject we preached on, man, just scorch the hide of those bootleggers. Everybody in the crowd say, amen, preacher, have at it, let them have it. But boy, when we begin to preach on some of those hidden sins of the heart, whoa, it gets quiet in the auditorium. They begin to shift around. Folks have never been thirsty in church before get thirsty and want to go get a drink. They want to get out of the auditorium. Why? Because the preaching of the Word of God exposed their sin. Hey, we don't like it. Well, wait a minute. We don't get right until our sin's exposed. We don't get right till our sin's exposed. Now, it doesn't have to be exposed to everybody else. Don't misunderstand me. But when it's exposed to us, and we have to confront it, that's when we get right with God. That's when we'll get right with God. So, yeah, it's popular with God. Why? Because sin is exposed. But it's also popular with God when the truth is expressed. And when we give out the truth. Boy, don't you know that's what we need today more than we've ever needed it before? Is the truth of this book. The truth of the Word of God. The Bible says, thy word is truth. We listen to the radio and television. You have no idea if it's true or not. We've got elected officials that do not mind lying. And they've become professional liars. They do not mind looking you in the eye and lying to you, and it doesn't bother them a bit in the world. Not a bit. And what we hear on the news, we've known instances where the media will warp the news and really put out a lie and happily do it. We don't know. But I'm going to tell you something, my friend. Somebody opens this book up, and you can have one in your lap, too. You can read it, too. That's the truth. And the truth of the Word of God, when it is expressed, man, it pleases God. It's popular with Him because the truth is what we need more than we need anything else. We need the truth of this book. Hey, listen, I'm going to keep on preaching because it's popular. Not with men, but it's popular with God. I'm going to keep on preaching not only that, because it's not only popular, but it's profitable. Profitable. Brother Noble's here. He's an evangelist, a rich evangelist. Now, I'm kidding, all right? I've picked at him before, all right? I'll be honest with you. I'm not talking about financially profitable. I'm not, that at all. Now, there's some charlatans today who have made merchandise of what they call preaching, and they are extremely wealthy. They live in big homes. They have more than one home in some cases. And I've heard of some, I don't know if it's true, but they have gold-plated fixtures in their bathrooms in those houses. Why in the world anybody would want to do that, I have no idea. But I've heard that that's so. Wait a minute, there's some that are charlatans, and they've managed to manipulate folks and enrich themselves, but mark her down, Judgment Day is coming. Judgment Day is coming. Hey, preaching is profitable, though, when it's proper. When it's proper. You say, what do you mean proper? Well, proper preaching is that which is scriptural. That which is scriptural. It's preaching that sticks to the Word of God. It's when the preacher does what God tells him to do. All right? Like in the Old Testament, the book of Jonah, in Jonah chapter 3 and verse 2, after Jonah had been through the whale and he had been spit out, God told him again, you preach the preaching that I bid thee. Hey, when that is done, it is profitable. Profitable. You say, why? Take your Bible, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's a verse that you're going to say, boy, I've heard that, and you have. It's not new, but 2 Timothy chapter 3, it's so true. It's one of those things that's so true that sometimes I think we just kind of let it go to the back of our mind and don't dwell on it very much. But 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Hey, when the Word of God is preached in the proper way, which is the scriptural way, and we're preaching a book that's inspired by God, guess what? It is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine. Somebody said back yonder, that's what is right, doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. That's what's wrong. And then it says it's profitable for correction. That's how to get right. And then for instruction in righteousness. That's how to stay right. And if we could grasp those four things, what a difference it would make in our life. Take the Word of God, what God says, pay attention to it, and when we're reproved, don't swell up. Amen. Don't turn red and say, I can't wait till this is over and I get out of here and I'm never coming back. Amen. I don't know how you feel about it. Thank God somebody tell you the truth. That's right. Yes, sir. I go to the doctor and I pay that rascal. Yeah. I don't pay him to lie to me. I'm going to drop dead the next day. And he knows it. I want him to tell me. I want him to tell me. I want to know that. Don't gloss it over. Don't hide it from me. Just let me know. Let me know. I've thought about it before, going for a checkup, you know. And he'd say, well, it looks like you're doing good. I thought walking out the door, yeah, I fall dead in the parking lot, you know. And he'll never know it. But, hey, listen, I want one to tell me the truth, don't you? I want a preacher to tell me the truth. I want him to get after it and preach this book like it's real and it means something. Why? It'll help me. One of the greatest reasons, I think, for the problems we have today and the mess that so many lives are in is because we've made a departure from that kind of preaching. That kind of preaching. I mean, where somebody just gets up and takes the Word of God and gets after it. Just gets after it. We don't have that anymore. Boy, we've swapped it out. We've substituted positive thinking. We've substituted possibility thinking. We've got positive only speaking. Never is heard a discouraging word. Man, you know, you're out there and you have a hard week at the job and life is hard. We don't want you to come to church and, you know, hear something discouraged. We want something that will lift you up and be positive. We want to pat you on the back, not kick you in the seat. You may need to kick in the seat. You may need that. You may not need a pat on the back. Bless your heart, if you're doing wrong, you don't need somebody to come along and say you're doing all right. You don't need that. We need somebody that'll preach the truth to us and give us that reproof, give us that doctrine, give us that correction, give us that instruction. Why? So we can live a life that pleases God. You know what? A life not only pleases God, but a life that'll please us. A life when we're through, we'll be able to look back on it and say, don't have any regrets about my life. Don't regret any of it. I'm glad I served God. I'm glad I did that. Hey, it's profitable. It's profitable. And it's profitable for people. The greatest thing you can do for somebody else is preach the gospel to them so they can get saved. Amen. Greatest thing you'll ever do for them, preach them the gospel. Tell them how to get saved. Now, you don't have to get up behind the pulpit. You don't have to pound on it. I'm not against that. But you don't have to do it that way. You can just come to somebody one-on-one and individually preach to them the gospel. We were there in Acts chapter 8 a while ago. We were down there about verse 25, if I remember right. And it says it was right there that Philip preached unto him Jesus. That was one-on-one. One guy preaching, one guy listening. And a good thing about it is that one guy listening got saved. What a blessing. What a good thing. And if you read on down there, it says he went on his way rejoicing. He didn't go and say, well, now I got to quit doing that. No, he was rejoicing because he'd been born again. Rejoicing. Hey, what a difference. Preaching is going to keep on doing it. Why? It's profitable. It's profitable. And I'm going to keep on preaching another reason, because it's powerful. It is powerful. Back in 1 Corinthians. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Oh man, what a marvelous verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Oh my soul. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, the Bible says this: for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. The power of God. Man, I can't begin to tell you how many times I've sat in services where somebody stood up to preach, and man, the power of God came down. Power of God came down. Now, nobody jumped a pew. Nobody was slain in the spirit, but the power of God was felt. I'll tell you, when that service ended, people walked out the door different than the way they came in. God did a marvelous work in the lives of people. Hey, listen, the preaching of the Word of God, keep on doing it. Why? It's powerful. It's got the power to save. We're to preach this book. We're to point folks to the cross and the Christ of the cross so that they can be born again. Hey, there's no other way, no other way to get to heaven but through the Lord Jesus Christ, through His shed blood, what He did for us on the cross. We're to preach that, all right? We're to preach that. We're to do our best to give it out. There's the power of the Word of God to save. Power of the Word of God to save. It'll do it. Nothing else will. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 4. Here's Paul testifying about his own preaching. And he says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He said, man, here's a testimony to the power of the preaching of the Word of God. You don't think preaching's got power? You think about when Paul stood before Felix and he preached to him, and the Bible said Felix trembled. There was such power in that preaching that old Felix was shaken under the power of God. Hey, you don't think there's power in preaching? Think about the times Paul preached and the whole crowd reached up and wanted to kill him. So why was that? Power of God convicted them. They didn't like that. They didn't like it. There's a lot of reactions to preaching, and that shows the power of God. When a man gets up to the pulpit or behind a lectern, if you will, and gives out with positive thinking or man's philosophy or man's psychology, there's no power. There is no power. Now, there may be entertainment. Maybe entertainment. You can watch some of these fellows. I've watched them. They're entertaining. They are entertaining. I probably better not call the name, because I don't want y'all to waste your time looking for this character. But there is a charismatic fella on, the Christian so-called television. He is an entertaining guy to listen to. There's no power. No power. But there's all entertainment. You'll laugh, but there's no power. No power. Hey, there may be counseling. There may be counseling, but there's no power. The power of God's not going to be there. The power of God comes in when people take the Word of God and they don't substitute anything else for it and just preach the book. All right? Just preach the book. It takes the power of God to break the bonds of sin. Takes God's power. Takes God's power. You remember before you got saved? I don't know where you got saved. I was saved in a Sunday night service at First Baptist Church, Tice, Florida. That's where I got saved. I was a nine-year-old boy. But there was no entertainment going on. It wasn't during vacation Bible school, not against vacation Bible school. But, I mean, there was no entertainment going on. I was 9 years old, sitting in the church service and hearing the Word of God, been in Sunday school and had a godly teacher open up the Word of God. And they were, at that time, our church was teaching through the book of Revelation. And God began to deal with me. The power of God. I mean, during the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. I'll be honest with you. The night I got saved, I have no idea what the preacher preached on. None. I was under conviction before he said, open your Bibles, all right? Because I'd been under conviction for weeks before that. God was dealing with me because of what I'd heard of the Word of God. That Sunday night, boy, it was the power of God. And I just stepped out, got saved, trusted the Lord, went forward, trusted Him as my Savior. Man, never been the same since. He changed my life. That's the power of God. God's able to break the bonds of sin through the preaching of the Word of God. He's also able to break the yoke of the oppressor. Oh, how he likes to oppress. Oh, the devil loves to oppress people. People get saved and they serve God for a while. Then they get away from God. And boy, Satan just begins to oppress their life. And he'll do everything he can to keep that person out of the house of God where the Word of God's going to be preached. Don't do that. I mean, try not to do it. Now, they won't mind if you listen to some TV preacher, some entertainment. That's okay. But man, keep it out. Keep them out of the house of God where somebody's going to stand up with an open Bible and just preach the book. That preaching will break the yoke of the oppressor. Can do it, and it has. Folks, that's what we need today. That's what's needed. We need to keep on preaching the power of God. Keep on preaching till the trumpet sounds. Keep on preaching. You see, there's something about preaching that demands a response from the listener. We're not here. I don't preach just to give you information. Not preaching just you'll say, okay, got it. Three things. Preaching is popular, not with men, but with God. It's profitable, not financially, but, you know, for doctrine to prove. I got that. And it's powerful. It'll save your soul. I'm not up here just to give you a lecture so you get that. No, the preaching of the Word of God is designed to demand a response from the person that hears it. It demands you take a look at yourself. Take a look at yourself and see how you measure up, not to the one preaching, but to what God demands in His Word. How do you measure up to what God demands in His Word? You see, I'm preaching to you this morning on keep on preaching. But the truth of the matter is, are you preaching? You can't keep on doing something you've never done. Now, you need to start, maybe. But don't you see that? See, that's the response. What about you? What about you? Well, preacher, we haven't had organized soul winning in the church late. Wait a minute. Was it organized when God spoke to Philip? Philip was in the midst of a revival in Samaria. God told Philip, all right, I need you down in the desert. There's one fellow down there who needs to hear the gospel. And he's ready and he's primed, so I'm putting you there. And you hitchhike, catch up with him, you know, stick out your thumb, get in the chariot, and you preach to him. You preach to him. Hey, listen, it's all the time, everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. Down at the gas station. Down at Walmart. At McDonald's. He said, there's not time. You can give somebody a track, can't you? You can give somebody a track. At the restaurant. I mean, everywhere you go, we'll just do our part in preaching. Do our part in preaching. Giving out the gospel. Giving it to him. Now, I got a question for you. Have you trusted the Savior? Have you trusted the Savior? I told you the power. It's the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God that has the power to get people saved. But have you gotten saved? Have you trusted him? Are you trusting baptism somewhere? Are you trusting some good works? You say, well, I'm trying my best to live right. Man, I'm glad to hear that. But that won't get you to heaven. Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Hey, have you yielded to him? Have you yielded yourself to the Holy Spirit of God and allow the Lord to work in you? You see, you'll never do any preaching until you do that. You'll never do any preaching. Now, you know, once again, I want to make sure I make it real plain. I'm not talking about necessarily standing behind a pulpit in front of a church congregation. No, I'm talking about you, one-on-one, looking for the opportunity and taking the opportunity God opens the door and giving the gospel to somebody. You. Hey, preaching is for every believer. We're all to do it. We're all to do it. And we're to keep on doing it until the trumpet sounds, either for all of us or just for you. The Lord may just come for you first. Okay, fine. Then you keep preaching until he does. Let's keep on preaching till the trumpet sounds. Everybody needs it. Everybody needs it. I don't care who you are. The people that resent it the least are the people that are in the best relationship with God. I've never found anybody walking with the Lord that resented preaching. That's all you do is preach. No, we don't resent that. We enjoy it. We enjoy it. Hey, some of us, we're nuts. We go looking for it. We go looking for it, all right? Listen, will you do your part? Will you do your part? Keep on preaching. Heavenly Father, would you help us? Would you just help us to see ourselves, Lord, as we really are? Lord, help us to see we have a part in preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we may not be a full-time preacher. We might never pastor a church. God may never call us to that kind of work. Lord, you may never call us for that. But Lord, you've called all of us to tell others about Jesus Christ. That is the essence of preaching, to give the gospel out. Lord, would you help us? Lord, maybe somebody hearing the message today has got offended at preaching. Maybe a little bitter. Lord, would you deal with their heart this morning? Help them to realize that the truth was given for their good. And Lord, they need to conform to the truth. Lord, would you just help us? Lord, Christians, we never witness. We never give out a tract. Lord, would you help us? Would you bring conviction? Lord, help us to make a response to the Word of God today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand this morning as we sing the invitation hymn? Just sing that plain old hymn, "Just As I Am Without One Plea." If you need to come. Hey, if you're listening in and you need to maybe kneel or bow your head right where you are at home, then would you take the time to do it? Don't just walk off from it. Don't just say, well, okay. No, but we need that response. Would you respond now as we sing the invitation? Come on.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to
next verse, would you?
I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blood, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
verse. Sing it, would you?
Just as I am, now tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
God bless you. It's good to have you this morning. I'm glad you came. Brave the weather and all of that.
Amen.
And if you go slipping and sliding home, you're driving too fast. All right, so just slow down, take it easy. You don't have to go slipping and sliding, all right? Hey, we're going to meet back at 1:30. We're going to try to do it again.
Right? Amen.
And I hope you'll be with us. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for the blessings that have come our way already. Lord, thank you for your watch care over us. And Lord, I pray now you'd bless this afternoon. And Lord, blessing our service that we're going to have a little earlier. And Lord, may we feel the power of God there also. Lord. May you bless and help us. And Lord, help us to be what you want us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
You're dismissed.